For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low,
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg,
just saying, okay,
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony,
and our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fun motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Caram from the Rose Bricks Bachelor Podcast, and here I am with the gorgeous and talented Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banta Blender. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. It's Monday back home after our Irvine show. What?
Yeah.
What? A road trip? A road trip.
Yeah. Our little road, our first ever like road trip show. That was fun.
Yeah, we had so much fun. Thanks to my friend Rebecca who drove us and did merch.
Yeah, she was great. Hustled.
And thank you to everybody who came out to Irvine. We were shocked that so many people were there. It was so amazing seeing so many people there.
Yeah, you guys did a big push at the end. Oops, sorry, everyone. That's my phone. I hate when that happens because then everyone checks their phones when they're listening. Honestly, like so flattered that everyone came out because honestly, when we put the show on, we're like, I don't know, is Irvine, like, is this going to be a place, whatever. And you guys rallied and we sold just a whole shit ton of tickets. And it was just the room was full. And it was big, and you guys were such a loud, hilarious crowd, laughing at everything, groaning at the sad shit. Like we, that's it was great.
Yeah, it was really so a fun great. Show. And sorry to everybody who went to look at Facebook Live. We have a deal now that if something messes up at the very beginning, we just don't mess with it because, like, it's not fair to sit up there in a paid show like messing with the internet. And of course, I think our sound guy, who was so great, but when he went to move our camera, he unplugged my computer. And that MacBook Air will die in 2 seconds, okay? It just died. So, sorry, everybody. We tried.
But the good news is that sound guy, who was really cool, he videotaped the entire show, and we put it up on YouTube. So if you want to see the show, which we really recommend you look at the YouTube video because it's just – there at our live shows, there's just like a lot more visual stuff that happens. Like Ronnie, you had several different stand up and dance moments. So, the YouTube video, if it's on our group, Watcher Crappens Live and loving it. We also have a YouTube channel. We don't post much on it, but it's like Watcher Crappens on YouTube. So go check that out because that's super fun. Also, we had this costume contest, and the first place winner, Anina. She made this three-dimensional t-shirt that had, it was like, she made like hedges on her t-shirt and then had like legs sticking out like Luann. So we put up a picture of it on our Instagram and we said, you know, congratulations to Anina, et cetera. And none other than Countess Luann herself liked it. So Anina, just know you have been seen by the Countess.
And thank you to our cookies from Mandy's Baked Goods. And yeah. Thank you to Taco Bell for coming out and giving everybody prizes and gift cards. And I mean, it was really fun. I wish every show was like that.
It was really like a party. And it was awesome. Like, and honestly, that Taco Bell really saved my life because I was very hungry. And I was like, I don't know what this is. And they're like, it's a burrito. I was like, I'm eating it right now. It was so good.
Yeah, I is that fan too loud? Sorry, got
no,
hot in here suddenly.
I'm talking all this Taco Bell.
But yeah, I put Taco Bell in the back seat with the, like the merch box and stuff. So when I was getting my stuff out of the car at like 12:30 or whatever, was like, oh my God, hidden Taco Bell. It was like the, it was like the, it's like that finding that one M&M in the couch when you clean once a year, you know? So thank you. I mean, you know, sorry to compare Taco Bell to an old crusty M&M, but damn, both are like delicious. That. Damn, if they're not just both delicious.
It was a super fun show, and our next two shows are in Chicago. Those have sold out. We had some people who were like, can you find some tickets for us, please? Your best bet is just to look on the Facebook groups. You can look at Watch Our Crappins, Live and Loving It. You could look at It's All Crappening. They're just various different groups. But it's also like a reminder that if you were thinking about going to a show, like get those tickets, because once they're sold out, and there's nothing that we can do, unfortunately.
Yeah, get your tickets, and we're about to announce two more dates, but we can't announce them yet. We have to sign the contracts first.
Yeah, you guys. So actually, I don't think we're announcing them actually for a little while.
Oh,
so
never mind. But we know that we're like going to keep going. Yeah, we're going to keep going is the point. We love doing those, so thank you, everybody. So our next show is Chicago. Then we've got San Francisco over Gay Pride
and
weekend. Phoenix.
The same weekend. Phoenix is on Thursday, and then 2 days later, San Francisco. So buy tickets to that, because
go get your tickets.
These shows are awesome and fun, and we want good, strong representation from the locals in Phoenix and San Francisco.
Oh my God! At least SUV just pulled up. Who is it? All right, Lover. Thanks, Lover. Thanks
all right, Lover.
It's Croy and Kim, who just arrived at the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion, a part two.
Yeah, it's the Croy Express. Kim has arrived via Croy. Now, before we even get into this, well, we're going to get into it, but I want to talk about some of the social media surrounding this reunion of Atlanta. I was reading this to you last night, Ronnie, in the car, but in case you forgot or in case anyone didn't see this, Kim puts up some bullshit on her Instagram. It's a photo of her and Nene fighting at the reunion, and I'm gonna just paraphrase. I'm not gonna pull it up the exact quote, but the caption is like, "All right, Nene, this has to stop. You know what? Like, I could sit here, I could get my lawyers on you for things that you're saying about saying I'm a racist and saying I was lying about the cockroaches and saying that I'm a bad person, saying that I was never sick, yada, yada, yada. I could put the lawyers on that, but I'm not going to, because we're grown women and we should have risen above it. And I say from this point on, I'm never going to engage with you ever again in social media. And I want you to do the same. And if you do, then I'll know that you're just simply thirsty to get a spot on the next season of Real Housewives of Atlanta." And I'm like, shut the fuck up, Kim. Okay. You cannot post something on there and basically say, "You did X, Y, and Z. You called me a racist. You're a whore. Blah, 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 blah. But from this point on, we are not allowed to talk to each other. And if you do, that just shows that you're desperate." It's like, no, you don't get to like throw bombs and say, okay, silent treatment. No, no.
Yeah, the person who's been knocked out on the boxing ring floor doesn't get to make the rules. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, you've already done the boxing match and you lost. So, and you lost really big. Because this is also the week somebody leaked one of her texts to her producers, and she's like, "I can't even deal with that black bitch." And so now everyone's like, "Oh, you don't see color?
Yeah,
trashy ass Kim, caught."
Yeah, yeah, no, and don't talk about that Nene is thirsty to come back when you're the one who's making the guest appearances on Real Housewives of Atlanta, okay? And by the way, say what you will about Nene or anyone else, I am not mad if someone on this show is doing something to earn a spot on the show. That's what we want. We want people to be active.
Yeah, it's called meritocracy, okay?
Thank you. What's that, meritocracy? Is that like the Merit Highway in Connecticut? I'm from Connecticut.
Merits. I used to smoke those when I was a kid.
Merit. I love staying at the Merit.
Listen, Merit Courtyard.
I like that. It's fancy. It's got a courtyard.
What if the Marriott courtyard, you had to actually like make an effort to get in there? They're like, okay, here's some things to jump over. Here's some hoops to jump through.
I'm a reward member at the Marriott courtyard. Yeah, I got exclusive. I get the presidential suite at the Marriott courtyard.
Holy Marriott Jesus.
You ever say at the JW Marriott, it stands for just waiting for the Marriott to be open.
Oh my God. So we open with Kim coming out of her stupid SUV, and she's like, "Thanks, Lover." And he's like, "Wow, you're acting so angelic today," which is funny, because really all she was like slightly nice to him, which leads me to believe that I'm right. and that she's just abusive to Croy and just like hits him on the head with things. Like, I imagine Croy walking by and her being like, "Hey, stupid," and just throwing a Kleenex box at his head, you know?
She probably throws a Kleenex box. You know, she doesn't buy off. She totally buys off brand Kleenex.
She's like,
"Go Kleenex."
She's like, "Take this, Clunks."
Croy, the thing with Croy is that he's so magic spelly. Like, he's so someone who was put under a spell to love the evil witch, right? Like, we've seen this in so many Disney movies. You know when that happens. And he just, like, he's under a spell. It's, you know, it's like in Little Mermaid. I know we make a lot of Little Mermaid references, but this one I feel like is really important. It's like when Ursula turns into that brunette for, like, a second in the movie, and then the prince is like falls in love with her and then goes onto the boat and is going to get married to her, you know? That's what's happening with Croy. Like, Croy is so under a magic spell. Who did that to him?
Well, I think as any girl in junior high knows, the first person who teaches you how to do your makeup right, you'll never forget them. The first person who teaches you how to separate your eyelashes, it's like you can't ever turn against them.
Maybe you're born with it.
And maybe you married Kim.
Maybe you're born with it. Maybe you got fake lips, fake chin, fake cheek implants, fake eyes.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Mobiline.
Mobiline. So, I don't buy that Maybelline shit. I buy Mobiline.
The door opens and they're walking in and they're playing like terror music. It's
cosmetic
like
cosmetic spike ass. Sorry.
It's like this horror music. And it's just Kim walking with the solo cup. Yeah. It's like...
Kim is a latte. She's just foamy and white.
I was born like this. What if the latte was like, I was just born like this? So that's the kind of place we're in today, by the way. You know now in minute 10.
Now we know. I was like, Ronnie, maybe this will be a short one because I didn't take too many notes. And here we are like, Kim's a latte. Makes sense. She always needs her own cup. Ba-boom. Latte slam.
So there's like terror music going on. And she's like, well, I guess it's okay you drove me today. Because today's a different day. I wonder if the girls are going to make fun of me today for you driving me today. Blah, 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 girl
probably
driving.
Yes. Probably yes.
So stupid. So then inside, they're still fighting. And Cynthia is doing that, like, I'm mad suddenly, but I don't know why thing that we ended with last time. And she's telling Sheree, child, if you're going to be the bone collector, child, you need to be the bone collector. Which, you know, shut up, Cynthia. And Sheree goes, you don't tell me my job description.
Meanwhile, Sheree is quietly updating her LinkedIn. Like... She's like, skills, being the bone collector.
Yes. People who have vouched for me. Cynthia.
Meanwhile, we have Eva. Eva's hanging around, and she's lying on the couch backstage just dying. Well, because she's basically in labor. We don't realize this until a little bit later, but she's having contractions every 10 minutes. So she's just like, oh, my God. Now, that's someone who is eager to be on a show. She's giving birth, and she's still like, no, I'm showing up for the reunion. I'm getting my face on this show.
Yeah, and she's still boring. She's still boring, even giving birth. I like that she gave birth the other day, and her guy, he's not her husband, right? They didn't get married. No shade, by the way. I just don't know. But he's like, I would like to thank the city of Atlanta for this beautiful baby who's only planning on being on this earth to lower taxes, go door to door and help old people, and, you know, make sure that sprinklers are only on during certain times of day so we can avoid a drought. I'm like, Jesus, what kind of baby announcement is this?
I totally missed that.
It's
I didn't
like
see it, but I believe
it. All about him.
We should also point out that Eva's obstetrician is Dr. Jackie.
Like,
that's
she
fun.
Doesn't have enough to deal with. Curtis is like, can we please spend some time together? She's like, I am helping a friend at the reunion. How dare you?
I am delivering America's next top baby.
Bone collector. So, yeah, Evie calls Jackie, and she's like, I don't want a reunion, baby. So then we get more horror music, and Kim's like, Croy, run, honey, run.
Where the fuck is Sheree? Kim is so helpless in life. She really is. Another thing that she put up on her Instagram, this is the last Instagram thing I'll say about Kim. She put up a photo of Brielle, you know, Brielle looking like, I don't know what, like a jack o' lantern that you can collect candy in.
Like a water balloon about to be thrown off a building.
Like, like something from the Nature Channel. So that's not even a real thing, but
not anymore. Like the Nature Channel canceled its damn self. It was like, forget it. I'm not even going to try anymore.
The Nature Channel was like going to do a whole special on Komodo dragons, and then they realized all their footage was of Brielle. They're like, oh well, let's just cancel ourselves. So nope, it's Brielle just sitting there, and Kim is like, hey, sweet pea, time to fly home to mama. We miss you here. We need you back. And it was like, Coachella. And basically it was that Brielle went to Coachella, and Kim is like, I miss you, honey. I need you to come home. And I was like, A, this does not have to be on a public forum. B, this is just an excuse for you to put up a photo of Brielle. And C, you're so codependent. I mean, you're making Yolanda look like the most independent lady we've ever seen. You are beyond codependent right now. And this, and poor Brielle. You know, Brielle is just a product of her mom's neuroses. You know, as much as we sit here and make fun of her face and what she's done to herself and how vapid she is and how clueless she is and how she has really no, like, exciting future, it's all because of her mom. And that's actually very sad.
Well, hey, you know, I'm someone who's a huge fan of blaming my mom for everything, so I'm all for it. I just wish my mom was more into, like, good hair and, like, fluffed up lips. Who knows where I'd be by now?
Yeah. A lot. You could be somewhere very exciting.
Abuse me harder, mother. So Andy is asking Marlo. He's like, so, Marlo, remember when you tried to talk to Portia? How come you chased her down as Babs?
Yeah.
And Portia goes, I've been to the gym, and she can't keep up. And Marlo's like, it doesn't look like you've been to the gym. No, Andy, that whole fight was just about us both being petty. I'm like, you just said that she can't... She doesn't look like she's been to the gym. Come on, Marlo.
I know. Exactly. And so they're talking about this fight, etc. And at one point, Andy's references how Portia took out her fan during the greeting mat fight, welcome mat. And Andy's like, well, so why was it okay for you, Portia, to stick something in Marlo's face when it was the same thing that Kenya did to you and caused that whole beef, you know, back in whatever season that was? And Portia just goes, oh, I don't know. Just dumbfounded.
He goes, what's the difference? And she goes, well, this time I ran away, which, yeah, you know, was actually very good, you know.
Yeah.
But also, she's doing exactly what Kenya did, which is bring a prop, put it in someone's face, and then when they react, it's their fault for being abusive. You know, you can say a lot about Portia, but at least she learns.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, eventually, she just brushes off. She just doesn't. Even though, yes, she's being a total hypocrite, she does the best thing, which is say, okay, I don't care. She's like, it's similar, and I could care less. So what? She snatched it. Bye. You know, like, she's just like, I'm done.
It's, I couldn't care less, okay? And she's like, you're right. I changed. And so then the next question is to Marlo. And he's like, Marlo, why is it okay for you to come for people with a criminal background? And she's like, we all have a past, okay, you know. And Kenny goes, I've never slit anybody in their face. And then they all start laughing. You got to love this show. This show is just like, well, I never slit anybody's face. And it's just like lighthearted laughter.
I know. I thought Kenya was being so funny this episode, because then, again, Marlo was like, no, well, what happened was I was on house arrest and I was young and I thought I could just, you know, rule the world. So I'd leave the house and it'd be like a hater like Kenya. See me at the club. Be like, she's at the club. So all my counsels were violations. There were violations. And Kenya's like, were those violations part of slitting someone's face?
And she's like, yeah, well, I was on house arrest because of volations. And there's people like Kenya who would see you leave the house and be like, volation, volation. So it's basically Kenya's fault. Yeah. So then let's see. Question, Portia, was it something seeing things at Love and Light party or something?
Yeah, there was something about Cynthia and Portia.
Oh, because Nini was nice to Portia or whatever, which I'm not falling for, so I don't need to sit here through Portia's fake tears. But I do give her credit for trying to have some, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's like, when Nini said to say sorry to everybody, why didn't you do it? And she's like, well, there was two things going on. I said things and the girl came after me, and it's a silver bullet. Because then it keeps going on to other stuff. And Cynthia's like, It was not a silver bullet, child. It's like, Cynthia, why are you even arguing? Be quiet. So she's like, people would say, would you pass the silverware? Oh, you said Candy's a rapist. Oh, you're going to the bathroom? Oh, you said Candy was a racist. Which is so true. Everything she did, people were like, remember when that time you called Candy a rapist?
It is kind of true. But she did do it, so she has to, yeah, you know, face the music. So, sorry.
And then she goes, potato, tomato.
Yeah, because she's starting up with, she and Cynthia have, I sort of got lost in this a little bit, but she and Cynthia are talking about how, like, Portia says that she approached Cynthia in San Francisco about something, and Cynthia's like, child, I approached you. And she goes, tomato, tomato. And then Cynthia goes, well, child, potato, potato. And she's like, yeah, huh? She was like, whoa. She had like a Keanu Reeves Matrix moment. Like, whoa, it goes beyond tomato, tomato? There's a whole world beyond tomato, tomato?
Well, she said potato, tomato. And Cynthia was like, it's tomato, tomato. And she's like, oh,
baby vegan, baby vegan.
Wait. She said tomato, potato? Is that what it was?
She said potato, tomato.
Oh, she did?
And Cynthia said it's tomato, tomato. And she's like,
I thought Cynthia said potato, potato. This entire discussion that we're having is truly potato, potato.
Yeah, we're having a total Portia moment right now.
Either way, watching her, like, her eyes glaze over for a moment, and as she saw the Matrix, the numbers coming down and spelling out potato, potato, she was just like, you know, she was suddenly killing agent number one, whatever his name was, in slow motion, learning potato, potato.
Potato, potato. Let's cut the whole thing on.
So... Next is, will she apologize? Pardon me. Will she apologize to Candy again? And it's like, Candy, will you ever have a change of heart? Forgive. And she's like, yeah. No. It's a backhanded apology.
Candy's getting so sick of it. She's just like, see, now Riley even asked me this question the other day. And I'm just like, once again, I'll never say never. But she said bye. And she doesn't know how bad that lie was, and she repeated it, and she didn't even check with me. And so that's when Portia's like, okay. You do Portia voice. My voice is not capable today.
Can I say something to her?
And Cynthia goes, hello, child.
Yeah.
And she goes, it ain't going to be long.
And Kenya goes, can we get cocktails? And Nini says, girl, you pregnant, ain't you? Which that whole exchange cracked me up. So Portia's like,
Candy, I hear you. I apologize. Plain as a tomato, eating a potato. I would like to be done.
And Candy's like, me too.
Yeah. And Candy basically says something very sensible. She's like, let's end this here so it doesn't flare up again. So this way, we don't talk – let's pledge to not talk about it again. So that way, like, next season, you start talking about it and it's going to start coming back again. And then we come back to this place. Let's stop. And so Portia's like,
deal. Let's shake on it.
And so Candy's like, okay. And Cynthia's like, child, how about hug on it? And Candy's like, shake on it.
Baby steps. Yeah. Baby steps.
Not going to hug. Not going to hug. And by the way, obviously, Portia's going to bring it up again next year. And it's going to all come back.
One of the other girls will bring it up the first day they see each other. Oh, my God. It's so nice to see you two hugging even after you accused Candy's husband of almost raping you. Remember that? Yeah. That was fun. Welcome to the hula hoop party or whatever other bullshit they open with. So, Portia, yeah, so that's done. So then Kim comes in and she hugs Sheree in the dressing room and she does her like white trash Lisa Rinna thing where she's like, whoa, you look gorgeous. Look at you. You sure look gorgeous. Whoa.
Meanwhile, Sheree's dressed like a Scarlet Mennonite. I mean, she's just like, she's just fully covered. You know, I'm assuming that's what Mennonites dress like. I'm being ignorant.
A Scarlet Mennonite.
You know, I mean, it's interesting with Sheree. I was having a conversation with some friends over the weekend about Sheree. And she has been pretty subdued this season. And she's been dressing in her joggers, her September, spring, summer joggers. But like they said last week, in sweats, and here she's fully covered up. And I'm not saying that she has to be uncovered or has to show cleavage or whatever to be like happy, et cetera. I'm not saying that at all. But I do feel like she has kind of receded somehow a little bit. And I almost feel like when everything came out with Bob, I feel like she was holding that I almost feel like that thing, that secret that she'd been holding on to for all these years, when it came out, it kind of like somehow like crushed her a little bit. Not crushed her, it sort of took out some of her, like a little bit of her spark. And I'm saying this not in any shady way or to be funny. It's, I think that somehow she had an idea of who she was. She had an image of who she was. And when that came out, it kind of shattered it a little bit. And I feel like the Sheree that we've seen this year is someone really kind of subtly spiraling from all of that. And, you know, she's all of a sudden dating this guy in jail, which I think most people would feel like, you know, that's a relationship that's not really going to go anywhere. And that's like a very safe place to retreat to after you've gone through something traumatic. Do you get that vibe at all?
I mean, I don't know that I don't look that deeply into it. I mean, she is selling joggers. So some of me just think she wants, you know, like breathable, comfortable clothes
or spring
to try
or summer
and sell later. Yeah. No, I don't know. But Sheree is definitely keeping the fights going with everybody but herself. So she goes back and she's reminding Kim what to concentrate on. Kim's like, you look gorgeous. And she's like, well, they're all pissed off at you. They want to hold you accountable. And Croyd goes, accountable for what? I was like, Croyd, listen, Jesus Christ.
Oh,
God,
my
be
God.
Be your own man, okay? Worry about your eyelashes, Croyd.
That
this
shady
is not
ass voice you just gave Croyd, that shady voice.
So he talks like that. He's wearing a full face of makeup and he's like, her accountable. What did she do? I'm like, oh, God, Croyd, just be quiet.
So now it's time to go back onto the set. And I love this, like, very brief montage of the ladies walking with their gowns and all their gay lackeys holding up the trains. Again, it was very Disney. It was very, very Disney. Like all the ladies going to the ball.
And Kim's like a floating bouncy face, and she's carrying her phone and a silo cup and what else?
Solo cup.
Her solo cup.
I swear to God.
I know. I don't know why. I won't learn. It's in my head now.
I'm gonna correct you every single time.
Please do, because hopefully it'll train me. I even wrote down solo cup in my notes, and I still say silo. I don't know.
It's a weird specific brand of aphasia that you have.
Well, silos hold grain. So I don't know what that has to do with anything, but just in case anyone's wondering.
But at least the silos are useful. There's nothing about Kim that's useful.
Hi, Andy.
So now we're back out on set, and it's time for the Nini segment. Time to talk about Nini. And we see just a whole montage of Nini's season, and Andy wants to dive in about the Oakland situation. He's like, how did you get to a place where you wished rape on someone?
Oh, my God. Like, no kidding.
She's like, I didn't wish rape on someone. She's like, I only hoped rape on someone.
One minute she's having a seafood party, and the next minute, rape. I was like, God, you didn't even rhyme that one, Andy. Come on.
Andy didn't ask the most important question of all, which is, why did you name your party the Gays and Girls Never Forget White Party Seafood Soiree
with fish or whatever?
Fish.
And then, yeah, it was funny how I entered this, because he was passing Cynthia and he's like, oh God, there's Cynthia Bailey, the only one ever on time, and she's like leaf blowing stuff off the stage. She's like, thank you, Andy, thank you for noticing, boss. And then he's like
she's like building a IKEA Poang chair.
Yeah, he's like, so Nini had one of the worst years of her existence, and then it closes up on like half naked strippers at her party. It's like, this show is hilarious.
Yeah. And so Andy, of course, is trying to tear everyone apart. He's like, so Nini, do you think that Candy should have fought harder for you to stay on the tour? And Nini doesn't fall for it at all. And she's like, no, she's a businesswoman just like I am, because Nini has finally come to respect the fact that Candy is like the most powerful person on this show.
Yeah, Candy will rip your ass right down. When he said, let's talk rape, how did it escalate to the point to where you were wishing rape on someone? And Nini goes, I did not wish rape. Like, there she goes with her words. He's like turning her into the genie from Aladdin.
She's like, you know, there's just, you know, I was making jokes and it was a very uber heavy audience. I thought it would be more of a Lyft representation. And so just my uber rape jokes just did not play well. What can I say?
Yeah, what can I say? Uber, you know, Uber controls San Francisco and that's that. So, yeah. And Andy's like, you know, it's funny that after all these years, you and Candy seem to have developed a genuine friendship. And Candy's like, we made a contract not to go after each other, okay?
Yeah.
And that's about as real of a friendship as you're going to get on one of these shows. And mm-hmm. to that, I say hats off.
Yeah, yeah. I do say hats off. It was kind of funny because when she said we made a pact to not shade each other, that was kind of like a breaking of the fourth wall moment. I mean, the whole reunion is, but it was basically her saying, okay, before the season started, we chart out our plan for the season, you know, which is, it's kind of funny that they kept that in there.
Yeah, it's so Housewives, and you have to do that, you know. It makes me crazy when people break that rule and turn on each other. It makes me crazy. Yeah. So even though Nene, I'm glad you guys stayed true.
Yeah, so Andy's like, since he's not getting anything out of Nene and Candy, he just goes back to the same old punching bag, Marlo. And he's like, hey, Kenya, are you surprised that Nene and Marlo are still friends? And Kenya's like, from what I've heard, yes, implying that ridiculous pizza man blackmail situation.
Yes, and then Marlo goes, oh, Kenya, you know, you think you're so great because you speak well, which is the biggest diss ever. And Kenya's like, I'm impervious to you. It's like, okay, now you're just fucking with me.
What does that mean? You're not perverted like me? No, impervious. Never mind, Marlo.
Well, it hurts when you say I'm a poor whore. I mean, where's the receipts? I was like, for being poor? I don't think you have receipts for being poor.
She said no matter what you say, I thought Marlo was saying at the end of the day, she still has some sort of respect for Kenya because she winds up in that way. She's like, you know what? No matter all the stuff that we talk back and forth, no matter what we say, and I thought she was going to say, I still have a love for you or something like that. But she's like, it really hurts me deeply when you call me a prostitute whore. I was like, you did not just steal Teresa's line. You just did that. You called yourself a prostitute whore?
Well, you know, Bravo brought it into existence. Did you know, from The Simpsons is now in the dictionary? That's just how English works.
Okay? It is.
If you say it twice on TV, it's like real English. So yeah. Kenya was like, well, for 2 years you said I was a prostitute. And Portia goes, I said that?
Yeah.
And Andy makes fun of her and he goes, I said that? And then Portia goes, yeah, but that was true tea.
Yeah. So then they're like, Andy's like, so Marlo, what are your businesses? And she's like, well, I dated a billionaire. I invested money. And he's like, but what are your businesses? She goes, Simply Marlo LLC. And then she goes to Kenya, want to Google that on your next break? And Kenny goes, yeah, when I'm looking for porn. Like, that is that fast shit. That's so fast. Like,
And Andy's like, let's make a truce. Through seasons 11 and 20, you guys won't refer to each other as prostitutes unless you're actually prostitutes. Yeah. And Portia's like, yeah, but she was. Which is so funny.
Oh. And they show that clip of that was later on when they showed Portia's clip of when she said that Peter was paying his waitresses in penis. She's like, look at their tip jars. It's full of penis or their paychecks. I feel like Portia is actually a little undervalued as a housewife. I feel like everyone, when people look at the major housewives, they look to Nene, they look to Kenya, they look to Candy. To some extent, they may even look to Kim Zolciak. But I feel like Portia is actually, you know, she kind of brings it in a major way every season. And I think she's a little undervalued.
Yeah, they definitely showcase it at the reunions.
Yeah, I mean.
You better ask your husband how he's paying his waitresses. Penises!
Yeah, she's really great.
So let's see. Okay, so we're going to commercial, and we're still talking about prostitution. And Portia's like, yeah, Kenya, but you were with that one-eyed African.
She
goes, you admitted that you knew him. And Kenya's like, you see, this is why you always get in trouble for repeating stupid things. She's like, you knew him.
She's like, I don't know a one-eyed African. She's like, yeah, I know him. She's like, first of all, he had two eyes, and second of all, I wasn't dating him.
That was so funny that year where they were both dating African billionaires accusing each other of being whores. But they were also driving new Bentleys. So it's like, you're both right?
I feel like Kenya has really come up in the world because her first season, she was trying to con us with a fake relationship with a tow truck driver. And now she's like moved up. She's like, you know what? It's now a restaurateur. I was like, good job, Ken. That's what we need. That's what we need. Move up. Like, don't. If you're going to have a fake relationship, don't be with a tow truck driver, you know?
Yeah, wasn't he a garbage man or something?
No, he had like a towing company, Walter.
Okay, so now Ava's coming out and there's dramatic music, Eva, and I'm bored.
She comes out, she's engaged, and Andy's like, so was your fiance concerned about you joining Real Housewives of Atlanta while he's running for the mayor of Atlanta? And I kind of was like, no, of course he wasn't concerned because he knew he had no shot.
Yeah, and also he needs the publicity. That's so a mayor of Atlanta, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, he supports me in what I do. I'm like,
Yeah, and he
I don't think anyone
me.
Who's a serious candidate is going to be happy if their wife joins a show on Bravo.
And he supports what I do, Andy, and he's confident in which way I hold myself. I was like, oh, you're about to have birth on a reunion stage.
I wonder how well he did. I'm going to look it up right now. Eva's fiance mayor. What was his name? See, that's the thing. We don't even.
I don't know.
Michael Sterling. I want to see how he did. Michael Sterling, Atlanta mayor race, mayoral race. He dropped out.
He dropped out.
Let's see. He dropped. Okay, I'll find the. I'm finding an article. This is in October 24th. He dropped out, which was a while ago, obviously.
Uh-oh. So I wonder what that means.
That just means he wasn't doing well.
Oh.
I don't think there's any scandal behind it. I mean, a lot of candidates drop out when there's like just no future for them.
Oh, darn it. I was hoping there was something terrible that happened. I watch Housewives. Give me more than that.
Yeah, he said, my message just hasn't resonated the way I thought it would. So I want to put my support behind somebody who still shares the values, who's still going to address the challenges that Atlanta faces. And that's Council President Mitchell.
Oh, good. So now let's talk about dick rhymes.
Yeah. Let's do it.
So what was cut out of 50 Cent's trip is all these raps that Candy wrote for how badly everybody wants D.
It was a big thing on the internet. But here's the thing. This is a prime example of Bravo stretching a reunion way too long. Because this – I kind of get the feeling like this reunion could have been probably two episodes, not three. Or maybe one supersized and then one normal. Because in case anyone really wants to get into the details of how long these episodes should be. Because this – first of all, this montage of Kenya doing her I Did It for the D stuff – went on a long time, and I'm like, is this really – you're showing, like, Secrets Revealed content on the reunion right now. This is not premium reunion content. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so let's fast forward through it.
Although the one thing I'm going to say is that Candy then, when they come out of that montage, Candy does one for Andy, and he's like, oh my God, that is so – oh my God, I'm so surprised that you did that, even though it's in the rundown for the episode. Oh my God. What? Oh my God, that's so funny. What? I'm like, okay, relax, Andy.
Yeah, he was very excited in this reunion.
Yeah. So the Cynthia and Will segment.
Okay, so Cynthia and Will. So Eva's like, well, I'm sorry, but that's just what I heard. And I wasn't really coming for him. I met him and he said he had a girlfriend. What do you want me to say? And then Cynthia's like, well, all I cared about, child, is that that girl was not his girlfriend at that time. And Andy's like, okay, so when was the 50th birthday party? And she's like, which one? And he's like, the one we filmed. And she's like, which one? He's like, the one that Eva came to.
She's like, June. Yeah. And he's like, and when did you meet Will? And Eva just goes, June, and then just flutters her eyes like 60 flutters per second, like very fast, like I am gonna blow you away.
Yeah.
And Cynthia's like, huh.
Yeah.
The thing that bothered me in this segment was that Andy first goes, so are you and Will together, or did you guys actually date? She's like, yeah, we actually saw each other off screen. And he goes, did you guys sleep together? I'm like, I don't know why. A lot of people were probably thinking that, but I also feel like, does it really need to be asked? I just feel like questions like that make me uncomfortable in terms of like that Andy is kind of their boss and asking a question. And you could see that Cynthia was uncomfortable with that. I just think it's not cool.
Well, also, I think he was asking because it's like, it's obviously her hired boyfriend, you know, so of course they ain't boning. They never even had sex. All she does is take him to the airport. Like, no one's buying this, but no one bought it with Kenya either, you know? So copy a better person.
Well, but it's also like, I think he's asking like gal to gal, right? Like, there's like a little bit of like, hey, we're just gabbing. Like, so did you just like sleep with him? Which I get, but he's doing it on camera and it's like, what's annoying is that he's saying like, hey, like, you know, friend to friend, did you guys sleep? But you're not really friend to friend. It's like boss to employee. and you're being sneaky, trying to elicit this personal information out on TV.
Yeah, but although, that's to be boss fair, on it's part Housewives. Yeah, that's Housewives.
I know,
boss.
And so I get
that's
that.
Different.
But I don't
it's
know,
not like I'm over just... at the factory, you know? Like, did you get laid, honey?
Yeah, but it's still, I still think it's weird because you could see how uncomfortable she was. And I just, it rubbed me the wrong way. All I'm saying is it rubbed me the wrong way.
Well, it's more than Will rubbed her.
I was about to say, more than Will. And then he kept on coming back to it. Again, it just, I don't know, you know, I just thought it was, it rubbed me the wrong way. That's all I'm going to say. I can only speak to my experience, okay?
I can only speak my truth, okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He's like, so then I talking... mourn that loss, girl. Like, okay, be quiet. So, let's see, texting. For, okay, yeah, so, now so Cynthia's like, well, off camera, you know, Will's a good guy. And blah, blah, blah. And we have a history, me and Portia, you know? And we have a history with her saying things about my ex-child. And then that's when it's like, you better check the tip to, blah, blah, blah. Check
it was
the
that.
Jar.
Yes.
Check the tip jar. It's full of penises. Or whatever. And yeah. Then she goes, well, Portia goes, I apologize. I sent a text. And she goes, yes, we texted. And she goes, you didn't text back. And she's like, well, I thought I did. Shut up. Shut up, Portia.
Very important stuff that's being covered on this reunion. So, but then the thing is that Portia is having an issue with Cynthia because she feels like even though they've had their moments, aka a boat ride, where she got kicked, you know, they've been doing really well and their friendship has been growing. And she was really taken aback by the fact that Cynthia in Barcelona said that she, you know, didn't know Portia very well. Was just getting to know her. So Cynthia's like, child, I mean, I don't know Andy very well. I don't know him very well. And Andy's like, me? What? I'm like, listen, you guys see each other 2 times a year.
Yeah. He's like, that hurt my feelings. But Cynthia is like that. She's your best friend until there's someone better around.
Yeah,
and then she pretends
she
doesn't know you. And she's classic
for right.
that. She's a fake ass.
She is. I don't know if she's a fake ass, but she does do that. She does seem to do that a lot. She does seem to hop from, I guess that is fake, to go
yeah,
from
one season
friend
to the next. She's like, we're best friends. Nene's back.
Like,
bye. I barely know
like
Kenya.
She did that to Kenya. Yeah. Yeah. She really, she was nastier when she did it to Kenya because she was buddy buddy with Kenya. And then Nene showed up for one day and was like, well, you know, Kenya and I are just starting to become friends. And Kenya was like, hello.
So then, you know, we're trying to keep this interesting with Cynthia, which is virtually impossible. And Andy's like, are you dating anyone new? And she's like, well, I'm dating one person that I like dating more than anyone else I'm paying. So Kenya saw him on FaceTime. I'm like, oh, God. It's like getting the biggest liar to be your witness, you know?
I'm like, Cynthia, it doesn't count as dating if you're asking the guy at IKEA for help to find your box in the warehouse.
It's the little gray head when someone doesn't have a video camera on.
That is so specific and hilarious. Chad, I'm FaceTiming with the gray head man again.
It's
kind of like, looks
Peter?
Like Will.
Hi, Peter.
Peter's brew. Peter's icon. So, yeah. So now there's talk about Eva and lesbian rumors because – oh, I guess we're talking about the Will thing. Like the question was something like, hey, Eva, why was it okay for you to spread rumors about Will but then you were so mad at Shamia for spreading rumors about you? And Eva's like, well, what happened with Will wasn't a rumor. I saw that. I actually saw it with my eyes. But with Shamia, she was just saying something and she was – oh, actually, no, that was a different part. The question was, have you ever done girl on girl? It's pretty much the same question, actually.
Well, she's like, "What? Yeah, no, it's the same because he's
the
like,
same
why were you mad at Shamia? He's like, why are you mad at Shamia? And she's like, because you can't just go accusing superstars like that of things. And Kenya's like, oh, please, we've all been in blogs. And I'm like, I love that Kenya compares herself to being in blogs to being Missy Elliott.
Missy Elliott. Like, yeah, exactly. So anyway, so Eva basically is like, you know, I'm not going to talk about it because it's Missy Elliott and she's super famous.
Yeah.
So now the moment we've been waiting literally all reunion long for, they made it seem like she's going to be coming out in the beginning of this episode and they teased us all hour long. Finally, Kim Zolciak comes out on stage. And as she's walking on stage, Croy's like, she's hot, right? She's hot. We're getting married on a boat next. Like, you're already married.
Poor Croy. I didn't have like a ton of respect for Croy in the beginning just because I didn't know him. But really, he's like the he makes me kind of grossed out to see him now. It's like, just sit down, Croy. Okay, please.
I know. Well, actually, I will say, I am going to be fascinated to see how their relationship, how it progresses now that his football career seems to be winding down, because now the money is really going to dry up. And even though, yes, Tardy for the Party somehow got renewed, there's not much more life. Like, I cannot imagine there's much more life in that show. So,
well, Kimber will just start whoring him out. You know, she's already paid her rounds. She'll just maybe she's just keeping him pretty to be like some bottom bitch that she can rent out.
Well, next up, once Tardy for the Party is over, next you go onto the reality show tour, like the lesser reality show tour, you know, where you wind up doing some TLC show about couples therapy, or
Marriage
you wind up on
VH1,
or then you wind up on WeTV. That's the end of the line. When you wind up on WeTV, then you know
they've still got
and then
time.
It's over.
Yeah, they've still got some time. So Andy introduces her like, she asked, she believed, and she received. It's Kim Zolciak Bierman or whatever. And she comes out with her silo cup. And Corey's going,
solo
she's hot,
cup.
Right? Solo cup. And Portia goes, should we be clapping? Because the way he introduced her, he's like, and here's Kim. Should we be clapping?
Well, because Kim, exactly. Because he gives her such a wind up. And Kim walks on, doesn't look at anyone. They're all glaring at her. They just all hate her. She doesn't look at anyone. She's acting like she is the main event. She is the star. I mean, in a way, she is the main event. But she's acting like she is a superstar who's accomplished something in life. And she sits down, only addresses Andy. She's got her cup. This is like her gimmick, which, you know, no one really, I hate when people give themselves their own gimmicks. That just doesn't work.
And it's a lame one. And then she's like, well, I gotta change out my shoes here and get into my slippers. You just came from your dressing room.
Yeah.
Why don't you just put your slippers on there? She's a waste.
Yeah, well, she's trying, like, it's still like, she's trying to do some sort of relatability shtick. Like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm just like you. You know, I hate these tall shoes. I'm just a regular gal. Just a regular gal who looks like I got those Halloween lips on my face.
Regular Kim. And then Andy's like, is Croy in the parking lot with the engine running? Which is hilarious. But you can see, you know, Croy waving his arms like, I'm still here, honey. I love you. You're doing great, babe.
She's like, no, he is not in the parking lot with the engine running. He is in the parking lot with the engine off because we care about this earth. Unlike some people, Nene. Nene's like, what? So Andy goes, wow, Kim, you look younger today than you did 10 years ago, which was very hilariously shady. And she's like, yeah, it's the makeup. I'm like,
the makeup. So he won't quit with her. I think he's just decided, fuck her, I'm not on her side. So he's like,
yes.
Well, your lips are considerably bigger. What's your end game on those lips? And she's like, it depends on how I feel.
At the moment, which is the opposite of an end game. But the other thing is, now you know me, I'm always there to ding Andy for making inappropriate questions about women's their body parts, but I give him a pass on this one because it's the question we've all been wanting to know. And she did it to herself. So,
and he's just immediately attacking her over and over again, which is hilarious. So he's like, let's talk about elephants in the room. And they're like, I finally get the table. It's got elephants on it. It's like, congratulations, Portia. You did it.
Yeah, finally we get an Embella moment. I'm sad that Embella was not actually at the reunion because I could have just sat there and watched her shake her finger at all these women for like 30 minutes straight.
I forgot how funny that episode was until
it really was funny.
When Embella is like, if I was to present you with the bath, could I clean you? And Kim's like, she makes that lip face. And she goes, you can't talk to me because I am a higher power.
And Kim clarifies, she meant, I just meant I'm on a different frequency from her for sure. I'm like, you don't even know what frequency means.
And then
you think that means a chair.
Embella just got pissed off and walked away. She's like, I can't with them.
So, you know that Embella is just like, she is a recent graduate of like SUNY Purchase's acting program. And she was hired for this gig. And she's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going back to Shakespeare.
SUNY Purchase. So Nene's like, the goal was to move forward because up till then it was just about Nene and Portia, but there were other issues. In other words, you were deflecting.
Yeah.
It's the deflecting elephant party.
You wanted everyone to be dragged into the mix. Yes. Was that before or after talking about how when Kim walks into the room, she just like ruins the vibe. And then Andy, I think, asks Kenya, like, did she do that now when she walked in? And Kenya's like, Yeah, like when she walked in, I was looking up and looking for clouds. I mean, Sheree didn't have her storm wig, so it couldn't have been her.
And Sheree goes, what? She has Storm from the movies. And she's like, hmm, trademark, no. Joker.
Yeah, Sheree's like, oh, I concede.
Sheree's like, did Storm jog? Did Storm jog?
You got a Storm? You got an X-Men? You got an X-Men?
Storm got a jogger? Storm got a jogger?
I was my X-Man.
So Kim is like, can you scary? And Portia's like,
somebody, you got, sometimes you got to reach out and touch somebody, girl.
And then Andy's like, why did you tell Cynthia to shut up and be quiet and just stay pretty? And Kim's like, what? I said she was pretty, okay? What's wrong with that?
Stupid Kim. She's really the worst.
Yeah.
She used to be, like, so terrible that she was fun, but she's just terrible now.
And then he's like, yeah, but you said she's just pretty and she'd be nowhere without being pretty. And she goes, when did I say that? And then they show Sheree and Kim on some internet talk show. And Kim's like, well, thank God she's pretty. And Sheree says, what's that? She goes, because she wouldn't be anywhere without it. And then Sheree's like, oh.
Kim's like, I never said that. I was just complimenting her.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry for saying someone's pretty.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then on top of that, Kim starts saying that she's like, no, I mean, the truth is that she has no backbone, just goes with the flow, which isn't necessarily wrong. And Cynthia's like, well, I don't really think you have any class, but that's neither here nor there. Kim's like, wait a second. Well, that's nice of you to say. And Cynthia's like, well, it was nice of you to say I don't have a backbone. Huh? What? Huh? I'm saying you're pretty. You're pretty.
Yeah, it was a compliment. What? And Andy goes, you know, you're a little Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And she goes, who the fuck is that?
Sarah Huckabee Sanders is like, you know what? I retire now.
I know. She's like, I've taken a lot of shit. News. Yeah.
I dealt with that photo of me reading to the children.
Oh my God. She's just throwing her shoes at the press corps and leaving.
No, I would like Kim Zolciak to take over that job. Because that would be – she turned every question into about her. Like, so what are your thoughts about the feds raiding Michael Cohen's office? I mean, well, I don't care about Michael Cohen. Who cares about Michael Cohen? I only care about Croy. Maybe you should start asking about me and Croy. How do I feel about Croy? How about that?
Do you think we're going to bomb Syria? I do not have fake lips. Get out. Get out.
Well, I don't know who Syria is, but if she's a bitch, then sure, bomb her away.
Is she friends with Kenya? Sounds fishy.
What have you been thinking about the Comey interview? I mean, I don't know. I have wigs. I don't have to comb my wigs. I got people do that for me. I got money, okay? I don't need combs.
So stupid. So the question is, why didn't Nene want to engage with Kim at the elephant? Whatever. These questions. I just have elephant written 30 times. I don't even know what's happening anymore. And so Sheree's like, I didn't even know we had an issue. And Nene goes, we didn't. And he's like, but you said, and she goes, we don't. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, if as best as I could parse it out, because I didn't rewind it to really get into it because I was running behind. But basically, Nini's like, you know what? Before the show began, I went to the mall. I saw Kim there, and she had her head up, and she was acting like she didn't see anyone, like she was the queen or whatever. And then she comes to my party and is like, oh, didn't I see you at the mall? And I think that Nini's issue is that don't act like you saw me at the mall and that I was giving you the cold shoulder when you were the one giving me the cold shoulder. No, so already
she said,
it's
she right, said she acted like she couldn't see me and then she waited for me to leave. Then she waited for me to go inside and then she left and came back and took a video of my car. And then Kim's like, oh yeah, fuck you. I don't give a fuck. You bleep, 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 bleep. And she's like, I didn't even see Nene there. And then they show her showing a picture to Sheree of the car in handicap. And she's yeah, like, she's I like, didn't take I saw that. And they're like, well, then where'd you get it? She's like, someone else sent me that picture.
Kim is so off. I mean, she literally is like, I didn't see Nene at the mall. And then flashback, I saw Nene at the mall. I didn't have a picture of her. I have a picture of her, like, of the car. Know. You know, it was like, it's so Nene finally was like, you're a hater, you're jealous, and you're fucking trash. I'm like, Well said.
Yes. You're a hater. You're jealous trash. And she goes, you don't got nothing I want. She goes, I got a lot you want. And I was like, oh my God, these two fighting. It's like Nene in the beginning of this episode when Andy's like, you wished rape on somebody. And she's like, I did not wish.
Yeah.
They're going to get all semantic about it.
Well, I'm always going to take Nene's side over Kim's. There was a time when it may have been closer to a draw. But these days, I'm always going to take Nene over Kim.
Yeah, Kim's really jumped the elephant at this point. If you will.
She's jumped and then co-opted the elephant's face.
And that brings us to the end of The Real Housewives of Atlanta Part 2. We will be talking about Potomac on our bonus episode this week, so go check that out. We'll be putting Potomac back with the regular episodes once Real Housewives of Atlanta is over next week.
Yeah, it's just we have too much, and it's too much, y'all. But don't worry, we are still covering Potomac, and it's going to get the full Crappens treatment. Just be patient with us, and go listen to our bonus episodes on Patreon, because we are still watching it, and I personally am really enjoying Potomac this season. I'm finding it to be very funny.
Yes, they're having a really good season over there. And if you're hearing this today when we're recording Monday, don't forget to vote for Reed tonight on The Voice. It's the first night of live voting. Go vote for Reed, everybody.
Vote for Reed. That's Ronnie's cousin-in-law, I guess you could say.
He's my hot cousin-in-law. Okay, everybody, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
New technologies like electric vehicles and driverless cars have the potential to dramatically change the way we get around our cities. Join Edith Bowman for a podcast debate asking what the future of transport could look like and if these changes will really improve our lives. Guests include Uber's Fred Jones and Jamie Bartlett, author of The Dark Net.
I do think there'll be areas where at the moment, with existing technology or business models, it's not profitable to serve those. I do think there's an opportunity through technology that you can, and autonomous vehicles can help get there.
The idea that we're suddenly going to have nothing but driverless cars in the next few years is absolutely fanciful. I've looked at this very carefully, and there are problems with driverless cars that seem almost insuperable.
I would really like to see public transportation be improved and seamless. I think that's where the answer lies in terms of future systems. The system isn't totally broken. It just needs to be improved and built upon.
The idea that we might have driverless vehicles, taxis or trucks or whatever on the roads, and everyone who works in that industry, which is millions of people, 3% of Americans work in driving in one form or another, that they're just going to stand by and let this happen is ludicrous. I mean, there's just going to be political uproar about this.
It was great to have a launch pad for this discussion, so this evening was really useful for that. The future of transport has to be public, has to be a public solution. I don't really agree that driverless cars are the future. I think the future is going to be investing in our public systems, and that means creating truly affordable solutions, and those are going to be public transport.
It's always nice to have a debate in these things rather than I agree, and we all just sort of go home with the same point of view.
Produced by Intelligence Squared in partnership with Shell, this episode is available now at intelligencesquared.com/podcast.